Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 135, Crushing Your Goal Race with Strategic Use of Microcycles. The last episode was about macrocycles, which is a whole training period leading up to a goal race. You may have heard the term mesocycle as well. I just like to simplify it into macro and micro. Whatever you call it, it's breaking training into smaller chunks or segments. Like so many things, what you call it is not nearly as important as understanding the concepts and applying them effectively. Let's unpack microcycles, the smaller cycles within a macrocycle. Traditionally, there are three segments, base building, sharpening, and tapering. But there could easily be four because recovery after the previous goal race is probably more critical than any of the other three, at least to the extent that you will never have the same success if you don't allow yourself to recover fully from the last goal race. So keep in mind that properly executing a rest and recovery period after any goal race is a prerequisite for you to benefit from your next macro cycle. After a marathon, stick to lower mileage for about a month. After a half, stick to lower miles for, say, a couple of weeks. And after a 5K, take it easy for at least a couple of days. That doesn't mean you don't run. It just means that you should severely reduce the intensity right after the event and then build mileage gradually from week to week. This will keep you strong and healthy. Really, it's a better mental situation as well, as your mind needs to rest and recover from hard training just as much as the rest of your body. Keep in mind that your body is more fatigued than you realize. When training for a long race, a marathon or longer, you've been focused and committed and many times basically obsessed with training. You pretty much have to be to succeed in the marathon. So the first step is to get unobsessed. Seriously, people who can't relax mentally after being in the state of obsession over marathon training are the ones who always get injured. It's pretty much guaranteed. So I'd say you should always think of it as four cycles: recovery, then base building, then sharpening, and then tapering. After your goal race, gradually build your mileage with gentle miles until you're ready to get into serious base building. This period consists of several weeks up to several months of easy, gentle miles. Be leery of people who tell you that lots of slow, easy miles will only train you to run slow and easy when you race. That is patently wrong. That would only be the case if you only did slow, easy miles. If you plan and execute a macro cycle correctly, those slow, easy miles are setting you up for the harder, more targeted miles that lead to great racing performance. The better your base, the greater the opportunity for laser-targeted, effective speed work later in the cycle. Your base is the time when you build up your mileage to where you want it to be before you launch your next phase of training. How much of a base you need depends on your experience, fitness, and your goal race. The base of someone who is training for, say, their 10th marathon is entirely different from the base of someone training for, say, their third half. And that would be very different from someone training for their first half. Many factors will enter into determining the appropriate base, But as the distance of the distance of the goal race, the performance goal, and the feedback you have from your body and how it's performed and responded in prior races. However, even people looking for good performance in a 5K will benefit from building a good base. In fact, I think it's common for people who prefer shorter 5K races to disregard base building altogether. That's a huge mistake. While the base doesn't need to be nearly as many miles, building a base before getting into the next phase will pay off. A little bit of speed work, such as fartleks or taper runs, are fine, but don't overdo it. Not in this phase. I recommend very little speed work during this time. Just say once a week, and my best recommendation in most cases is to alternate hill repeats for your speed work for 1 week and fartleks, as mostly what you do. And if you don't do any speed work some weeks, that's fine. Just focus on building endurance and building the long run. And you know what? Focus on enjoying it and having a good time and not having to worry about anything else but getting the miles in. Some people will feel like they lose their edge if they don't do some speed work. To these people, I say, okay, do some, but don't do too much. Maybe do a third as much as you would do in the focusing or sharpening cycle, the next one that we're going to talk about. It's critical to understand that the success of your training cycle will depend on the base you launch it from. Never discount the value of a good base. It's my experience that many runners have never built an appropriate base. Seriously, some people run their whole career and never understand the value of building a base. Even if you're only planning on racing 5Ks, if you want to do well, you should build your weekly mileage to 25 miles per week with a long run included in that. I would build a long run up to 15K. A 10K would be okay, of course, but I think a 15K will serve you much better. And you know what? Going 12 or 13 miles for your long run would probably serve you even better. So, as an example, you might do 15K one day of the weekend, so 9.3 miles, and say, not necessarily 5.3, I guess when you're training, it would probably just be 9 miles. And then, so that would be one day of the weekend, so maybe on Saturday. And then Sunday, if you did 5 miles, that's 14. Then you have just 11 miles to do during the week. You might break that up into a 5-mile run and 2 3-mile runs. That still gives you 2 days off per week. Look forward to the base phase because it's comprised of easy, comfortable miles. Just go out and enjoy relaxing runs during this time. This is a great time to stop to smell the roses, run in a lovely park, listen to a book, take some pictures along the way, participate in group runs, or enjoy your favorite music. The next cycle is the focusing cycle, also known as sharpening. This transitional phase is when you start to incorporate speed work at least once per week, real speed work. Most coaches will recommend one traditional speed work session, say on a track or shorter distances, and one tempo run, while still maintaining a long run once each week. That's the traditional setup. However, every coach has a slightly different philosophy, and some will depart from this a good bit. One of the main ways that different coaches will design schedules, and sometimes this is tailored to the athlete, is that some athletes do better with, say, a 10-day cycle instead of weekly or a 2-week cycle. There are a lot of ways that this can be changed and still stick to the basic microcycles. During this time, you're still doing plenty of easy miles, but your total mileage usually gradually decreases as the weeks progress and your speed work becomes more focused and more race-specific. The next phase is tapering. This is a period of gradually decreasing mileage while focusing on race-specific runs and speed work. Your taper will depend on your goal race distance and pace and your past performances, because over the years, you'll learn if you need a longer taper than most or a shorter taper. This can be very person-specific. Everybody's different. You'll need to experiment to see what works best for you. But one thing is for sure, you will do better if you taper. Considerably better. It's a very inexperienced runner who refuses to alter her training schedule in the week or so prior to her race. While non-runners would think the taper would be the easiest of all the cycles and the most pleasant, it's not, as you likely already know. When you're accustomed to running most days of the week, it's hard to cut way back. But if you keep the big picture in mind, you can cope with the lower, more focused mileage during this critical time. This is the time to reduce caloric intake to reflect the lowered energy expenditure, but it's simultaneously a time to be extra careful to eat a nutritionally dense diet. This is especially true when preparing for a marathon or longer. The other thing is to really double down on rest. Really, really work at getting plenty of sleep, plenty of good sleep. So here, you channel your focus away from worrying about mileage and towards resting your body, helping it to recover as well as possible from all those miles. Feel free to take walks and go for bike rides during this time when you would be running. You definitely do not want to sit and spend more time on the couch. Sitting isn't good for anybody. It's especially not good for your running. Extra time sitting will work against you. So keep moving, but don't suddenly start going for intense bike rides or such. Don't trade lots of intense running for intense exercise in another sport. Instead, use the other activity to just keep moving. but keep the intensity reasonable. During your taper, you'll still be doing some race-specific speed work. That's the place for intensity at this time. If you're a serious runner, then you likely always use a schedule to train for your goal race, and that schedule is broken down into these three microcycles. Although the separation between each part may be seamless and will vary depending on the philosophy of the coach that prepared it and customized modifications based on your previous training and racing experience, I just hope this explanation will help you see the value of sticking to a schedule, and I hope it will help you appreciate the potential of just how much implementing periodization has the potential to impact your ability to race better than you ever have before. That's it. If you haven't been building your training schedules on these principles, please try it. It may be the one thing that will completely change the effectiveness of your training. Now, if you haven't already done so, I encourage you to go to patreon.com/coachdeb to make a commitment to support this podcast. By committing to a small amount, even just a dollar will make a difference to keep this podcast going. You will only be charged every time a podcast is published. If I don't do one for a while, your credit card doesn't get charged at all. So seriously, even $1 makes a difference, and I would very much appreciate that. Additionally, if you're not following me on Mojo for Running on the Mojo for Running Facebook page, I hope you'll go there. Very soon, I'm going to start actually a challenge on there, so you'll want to make sure you keep an eye on that. Also, please follow me on Twitter at Mojo for Running and on Instagram at Mojo for Running. If you haven't watched our documentary about running, The Human Race, is available for rent or purchase on the Apple, Amazon, and Google Play websites. It also can be purchased on the Walmart and Best Buy websites. I'm thrilled with the feedback we've been getting on that. We've got 5 stars on Amazon, and our IMDb rating is 8.7 out of 10. I recommend you purchase it and watch it every time you feel your motivation flagging. And here's another tip. When you watch it, make sure to keep it playing until the very end because the outtakes are hilarious. One last thing. If you have never rated this podcast, would you please do that? It's as easy as clicking the appropriate number of stars, and you can do that right in the app you're listening on. Now, today's quote. Love the process, or you'll never achieve the goal.